Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Friday. Yeah, can you feel it? Wow, that's like a disc jockey moment. Oh, it's Friday. Still gonna rain later?
I think so. We will see some sprinkles today.
Mm-hmm. Getting warmer though.
Yeah, nice.
Finally.
It's more disc jockey flashbacks. I sound like Eric. 6:11, lots to talk about because you know it's a talk show. Hi, I'm Steve. Steve Cochran. That's Andrea. That's Dave. Mary's on the 7th floor. Steve's on the 7th floor. Locked in the producer's booth until they behave. Mike Jacobson and the woman we call Sandberg, who frightens us all. Thanks for listening. Oh, by the way, it's Sandberg's father's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Dick.
Happy birthday, Dick. She'll come in later and say it. But, okay. You know, with my ADD, if I don't say things when I think of them, gone, yep. Over, yep. Out.
I hear ya.
Dave talked to Pete Pistone before the show. We'll play some of that back for you in a little bit. Also want to play back a little bit of Lou Piniella's drop by yesterday. Piniella came by in the 9 o'clock hour. Most of you would have missed that if you're up early.
He was great. Fantastic.
He's always great. He's always great.
So funny.
He's gotten younger.
You know what I love, though, too? He's talking about his golf game.
He's Benjamin Button from baseball.
Yeah, he looks great. He said, well, I used to be an 80, but now I'm an 83.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's such a great golfer.
Yeah. Well, and he's 71. Is that right? 70, 71?
Sounds about right, yeah.
74. 74.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, he looks great.
You know what? You know how we always see the pictures of the presidents when they're inaugurated and then at the end of their terms, how much they've aged?
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Cubs managers over the years, maybe up until Madden, who hasn't changed that much since he's been on the job.
Well, he came in looking older than he was. So he had some room to play.
That's true.
Yeah, that was probably Tampa that did it to him.
I love when he was talking about the wines, too.
Yeah.
He's a great wine connoisseur.
He would have talked only about the wine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been at a few dinners with Lou where he's enjoyed some wine.
Yeah.
I think he and Ronnie once in a while on the road.
Well, the funny thing about having dinner with Lou is the more he drank, like anyone else, the louder he would get, but the stories would even get better. You know, and then you'd go, hey, Lou, there's some people nearby that might hear, oh, it's fine.
Well, he knew everybody in baseball and still does, but I mean, he's rattling off Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson and on and on.
Did you guys get a hug and a kiss, too, when he left?
Not a kiss. Lou and I don't have that kind of relationship, no. Hug? Got a hug,
I got a hearty handshake.
Okay.
Which is fine.
But he's 74, you said?
74?
He's 74. He's 18 years older than me. I looked at the picture of the two of us together. I look like his slightly older brother.
No, you do not.
I don't get that.
That's funny.
Yeah, Dave's going, kind of. And when is your birthday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay. Are you working?
Yes.
Hey, Mary, it's cake day.
Yes. I won't be here.
Yes.
What do you mean you won't be here?
I'm going to be in Wisconsin.
Oh, she's on vacation.
Yeah. Are you going to see grandbaby?
I am today. I'm so excited.
How are you going to get the cake to us?
I don't know. I think we're going to have a late birthday again.
Well, they have UPS and FedEx in Wisconsin, don't they?
Portillo's cakes do not do well in the mail.
Mary, drop it off by me on the way out of town, and then I'll bring it in for Dave's birthday on Wednesday.
No time, leaving at 1.
All righty.
if they FedEx cheese, they'll FedEx cake.
If they FedEx cheese.
Sorry, guys. Can't we do it?
Wasn't that a kid's book, if they FedEx cheese?
Dave, when do you want your birthday
party? Don't worry about it. Really, it's fine.
Yeah, we'll get him a cake when he comes back. In the meantime, we'll just make him eat kale. He'll never touch it, but we'll make him eat kale.
Yeah, you guys can make... How about one of you make a cake?
It's really not my fault that Dave's born on Tuesday. You know, could have waited till Wednesday. This wouldn't be a problem.
I nominate Grzanich to make a cake for Tuesday.
Oh, like we'd see it if Grzanich made the cake.
I just come in with
a plate of crumbs.
Icing around my mouth.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
You'll say the dog ate it.
I was mugged. Here's your top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Top six at six, and then Lou. As a matter of fact, you get in line to be the first caller for Lou Manfredini in just a couple of minutes. at 312-981-7200. President Trump vowed to find and punish those who are leaking information. The boss in England, Theresa May, had a strong talking to the president, and he then went out and said, "We're going to get him." I don't like it either. I don't like the information being leaked out about an active criminal investigation. That's not right. But I think that if the word leak is not always a negative word. The word tax is not always a negative word. And yet that's how we roll, because we don't want to think too hard. Mm-hmm. The British officials are saying we will share information with Russia. And then they winked and noticed their fingers were crossed and they walked away and giggled.
Exactly. And the U.S. too.
And did I say Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah, they won't share information with Russia.
You meant the U.S.
Yeah. No, that's right. Trump shares with Russia. We shouldn't. I got it.
There you go.
I was confused.
It's hard. You need a little flow chart. It's hard.
Maybe the FBI should investigate me. European leaders were a little annoyed in Brussels on Tuesday after President Trump declined to endorse NATO's mutual defense pledge, Article 5, and spent most of his time talking about chronic underpayments. Look, he's not wrong. He's not wrong about everybody should pay their 2%, but there's a time and a place. And the time and the place is not to go and kiss the butt of all Middle Eastern leaders who show no interest in human rights and then go to our best allies and mock them for not paying. Mm-hmm. You can't do that behind closed doors? Come on, please. Next. Federal appeals court rejected government efforts to limit travel to the U.S. from six predominantly Muslim nations. I believe this is the 14th time that Trump's travel ban has been shot down by courts. No real comment from the Trump folks on that one. Typical situation downstate at the Capitol. Rauner and the Democrats are at odds over Chicago public schools. The Democrats want the massive city school district to be guaranteed a certain level of funding. Republicans say the math is not right. That means a formula change, which affects how the state distributes the $5 billion in general school aid. The city has more money needed for the schools. Downstate schools go, why should we get less?
Right.
City area schools certainly get less, even in the city. So where's this go?
Now, Governor Rauner was steadfast yesterday in his pledge. And this isn't a bad idea, Steve, to have two separate tax bills, one for property taxes, which, of course, would go toward school funding, mm-hmm. and the other which wouldn't. That's not a bad idea, especially when CPS wants this much money and they're this far in debt.
And have the Dems said anything about it yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
Mark Zuckerberg's in the news. The Facebook founder plans to visit all 50 states and is about halfway there. His goal is to visit every state in the union and learn more about a sliver of the nearly 2 billion people who regularly use the social network. He just sounds like a kid who started a huge company who never got a chance to travel.
Yeah, he's going to get a big RV and go from state to state.
He's got a backpack, and he's going to go travel around the country.
We should have him on the air when he gets to Chicago.
Somebody's got to remind him he runs Facebook. Can't just leave? What's the matter with you? And LeBron James scored his 5,995th point in the NBA playoffs on Thursday, clipping who, Dave?
Eclipsing Michael Jordan.
Would that be Michael James Jordan?
That would be Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Oh, I thought it was James.
LeBron James now with 5,995. Jordan scored 5,987. Now, if you want to nitpick, Michael got his points in 179 playoff games. James has played 212.
Yeah, LeBron's a big cheater. Back with Lou next on 720 WGN. Here's Mary Vandeveld, and she's going to do your traffic.
And traffic sponsored by Target. First off, Metro Burlington Northern Train 1212 that was due in at 7.
Hey, you know what I forgot to tell you?
Yes.
Everything we just did. Sponsored by American Weathermakers. Heating and cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers. Lou Manfredini standing by at Channel 9. I saw the American Weathermakers folks yesterday.
Dick Hochschild.
Yes, and his lovely wife.
And his lovely wife.
And they're now pretty much, they're like the title sponsor for the 6 o'clock hour. They're just rolling with it, taking care of the top 6 and 6. And a little bit of Lou, too.
Wow.
And saw Lou Manfredini in blue shoes.
Cubby shoes.
My cubby shoes.
Yeah, you can make that look work.
It's cool.
You know what, Steve? My wife lays out what she'd like me to wear, and I put it on.
I didn't. Well, I wasn't mocking you. I was actually complimenting you.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Pete McMurray has those blue shoes, too.
That's a shock, huh?
Yeah.
loser special, though.
When you take the shoes out, it has Cubby logos inside.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd ever have the opportunity, nor would I care to, but I suppose if I looked into Pete McMurray's closet, it would look like Starburst exploded.
Right. Exactly. Like a box of Lucky Charms. Yeah.
James from Sycamore is on line one, and James, a busy guy, doesn't necessarily have time to hold all Saturday morning when Lou's on, so he's in with Lou's first call. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
Got a question for Lou.
Yeah, I was wondering, does Lou have a trick to getting rid of rabbits or deterring them from eating my plants?
Wabbits. He's got wabbits, Lou. What's he do about his wabbits?
So, you know, if you can do something like if it's a flower bed and you can get some kind of a low fence, like a little chicken wire, like a 2-foot tall fence, and that doesn't bother you from a look, then I would do that. That's the best way to do it to keep them out.
What about the cool motion detector?
Yeah, thing? And then secondly, if that's not an option, your second best is the spray motion sensing sprinkler called Spray Away. That you could mount in that area that'll whack them with water every time they come through. And after a couple times, they won't come back.
Lou
and
likes
your,
to have,
and your plants will stay watered.
Lou likes to have wine on a Friday night and just watch the wabbits get watered.
I do. I'm a simple man. I keep telling my wife that. I'm a simple man.
Yeah. And thank you, James. James, by the way, Lou, I don't know if you're aware of this, is a big, big winner.
Oh.
April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone, is brought to you by American Weather Makers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC for James from Sycamore. Now, you're on the radio tomorrow.
I am.
You're on TV all weekend.
I am.
It's funny when you listen to Lou on the radio now because he's also on WABC in New York, so he's got a New York caller slot once an hour where he just insults people.
No.
I just randomly mentioned some spot in New York, you know.
Right.
Just take, go over the GW and say something like that.
He doesn't know what he's talking about because when he does a Today Show, he's brought in by six limos in a caravan.
Exactly, right.
All right, at 6:20, we'll check the text in a second, but it was great seeing you and great seeing everybody yesterday.
What a terrific event, and I heard you guys driving in this morning, and it is so nice to see so many legends. I mean, Dave mentioned the fact that we all sort of broadcast on this radio station on the shoulders of all these people that came before, and it is quite a list of accomplished people who are just kind and giving and were of the mentoring souls to many of us coming on. So it really is a special event. It might be a little inside baseball, you know, for us, but I think that the fans of those people, I met several of them who, you know, there are people up on that stage, Steve, I know for you it's the case too, who I never worked with, didn't know them.
Yep.
But when you hear their stories and then you hear some fans, some of our fans who've known them said, oh, I used to, you know, listen to him or her. And it's just it really is something.
You know, Jack Rosenberg, who Dave, was it fair to describe him as one of your mentors?
Oh, sure. I would. Yeah, I'd like to think so.
The coaching tree phrase that we throw around in sports of somebody that spawns any number of people. People would never be able to even know how many people in front of the camera, on mic, or behind the scenes, Jack Rosenberg started their careers.
Right.
Dave Ennett introduced me to Jack Rosenberg. That was the first time I met him face to face. And when he said, can we take a picture? I almost fell over because I went, oh my God, can I take a picture with you? Is that okay?
Yeah, exactly.
What That's a great. Couldn't be a nicer man. Wonderful man.
But they're all great. And it was great to see how much it meant to the kids. Kids, they're older than I am.
Yeah,
but the grown kids of the families and the deceased, they couldn't be there.
The last time I saw Ann Maxfield's son, he was about 6 years old.
He's 20.
He's in college.
Yeah. I know. Ann told me the same thing. No way.
And he has a beard. I said, Ann, he has a beard.
I can't even recognize.
She's like, I don't like.
Annie looks great. Mike Mathis looks great.
Oh, Link.
I tell you what, retiring from this place seems to do a lot of people good.
Boy, Link looked like $1 million.
He sure did.
Link was hilarious.
Looking sharp.
You know, he owns a cafe down there, Lou, in Mexico.
Yeah, it still feels like, to me, it feels like a Law & Order episode where a cop went wrong, so he went south of the border.
Right.
I want to know
what
really goes
on. There's a lot of state police there yesterday.
All right, one quickie from the texters, Lou. I just installed laminate wood floors. I'm confused about floor care. What can I use every day?
I'll tell you what. There's a whole new program right now, a company called eCloth. I'm not in love with the name, but it's a highly refined microfiber pad system, both for rags and floor mops. You just use water. And the microfiber pads are so highly refined that if I were to take a piece of raw chicken on a countertop and take one of these microfiber rags with water, and I wiped it up, 99.9% of the proteins would come right off of the countertop. And so this is true for the flooring as well. No streaking. They make a terrific floor mop. You use a spray bottle with just water, and you will be amazed. It's called E-Cloth. You can find it at your participating Ace Hardware store.
And I said that was the last one, but I did see this one. Lou, how do you get rid of moles? I have a big one on my back. That's probably the wrong guy to ask, guys.
That's for Monday morning with Dr. Kevin Mose. That's the wrong doctor.
Sometimes people confuse the segments.
It's not me.
All right, what are you talking about on TV?
TV this morning, we've got three grills you didn't know that you wanted. And Memorial Day, obviously, is the official grilling kickoff season, even though people grill all year long. But I got three unique grills that you didn't know you wanted.
And I've got a couple texts from listeners wondering if Dave had any final questions at all. I don't know if he does or not.
Dave?
Maybe he does. Maybe. Does Dave have any final questions?
Like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. Go Cats.
Okay. I could.
All right, Dave.
I could fake it if you like.
So we're approaching the one-year anniversary of the Buckthorn. It's almost 1 year.
So where was it?
I just think it might be time that I think Dave finally got it fixed.
Yeah. So in other words, you couldn't find it in time?
No, I feel like I think it's been played out, and I think.
Okay, well, maybe you tell me that before I ask for it live.
Oh!
Yeah.
We had a meeting.
I hear a meeting.
Hey, Lou?
Yeah.
Nah.
Oh. No,
never mind. Attaboy. Happy Memorial Day, everyone.
See you, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Yep. Bye, Lou.
6:33, big story next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Second play of the second half of the 21-yard line. Walter needs two to break the record. High formation. Wing to the right is McKinnon. Galt wide to the left. They send McKinnon in motion through to the left side. Quick pitch to Walter. Looking for the record. Cuts back. He's got it. He's out of it at 25 to the 26-yard line. Walter Payton becomes the National Football League all-time leading rusher, surpassing Jim Brown.
Ah, good Bears memories. We need him. Absolutely, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was in the booth when that call was made.
Is that right?
Yeah, Joe McConnell, the former voice of the Bears, made that call in 1984.
33 years ago.
Unbelievable.
Coming up on that, yeah. Jared Payton standing by on the phone. You can see Jared every afternoon on WGN News. And that's at 4 o'clock with lovely and talented Lourdes Duarte and you other chumps that are on the show. Good morning, Jared. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for having me.
You do great work with the Jared Payton Foundation, and you got a golf outing coming. It's golf outing season, kids. Support your causes, and we'd love for you to help Jared do the good work he does with JPF all the time. First off, facts on the golf outing. Where and when?
We're coming up on next Thursday. We're going to be at Ruffle Feathers for our 6th annual Jared Payton Foundation golf outing. And it helps out my Jared Payton Foundation and giving back to these kids. And, you know, kind of the biggest thing that I've ever learned probably from my father was to be able to give back in service and what that means to be able to do. And he always said that that's the rent that you pay while you're here on this earth. And, you know, my mom kind of carried it on with the Family Foundation. And then, you know, my sister and I, we grew up just seeing that what an impact we can make here in Chicago, as Chicago is our family. They're in our family. And it's cool to be able to go around to the schools and talk to the kids with my Project No Bull and help kids out when we're talking about bullying. There's so much stuff that's going on. And to be able to receive, Steve, some of the letters in the last month from kids at schools or from parents that it showed that I'm making an impact. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do on this earth.
Yeah.
And to be able to have people keep helping me out and to get involved with the foundation, it's really showing that we're making a difference.
And that's why you helping out with the golf outing and all the Jared Payton Foundation activities throughout the year is really, really important. If people want to get involved, what do they do?
Just go to jaredpayton.org. You can sign up for a foursome, or you can donate. We also just want people to come and also volunteer as well and just see some of the things that I'm doing and help just keep expanding on helping out kids in the Chicagoland area.
The No Bull thing, you mentioned the bullying thing. I know this is one of the most popular, if not the most popular initiative for the foundation, but I've never talked to you about this. You were bullied when you were a kid?
Yeah, I was bullied when I was a kid, and it's kind of weird. I know people are like, well, your dad was, you know, Walter Payton. Well, it really doesn't matter what your bank account looks like, who your dad is. It can happen to anybody. And the one thing that I always vowed was, is if I ever got a chance to have a platform and to have a voice, that I was going to use it and I was going to help out. And to be able to talk to over 100 schools in the last 3 years, and to see these kids and to keep up with them through social media and see how some of them are doing, I think that's what I was supposed to do. And I think everybody wants to find out what their purpose is. And I know my purpose is to impact people and to give back. And so it's one of the things that really, it hits me to heart, and I want to keep doing it. And so everybody that comes out to the golf out and gets an opportunity to really see what we do as a foundation, but also get to meet the great people that help us out as well.
How tall are you now?
Say it again.
How tall are you now?
6'1".
And what do you weigh?
About 215 yesterday I weighed in.
Yeah, and in great shape. And I just say we go over to the kid's house that bullied you if he still lives in town, and we just have him say hi to Jarrett today.
Well, that was kind of a big – I actually saw him. And we,
wow, no kidding.
Yeah, and you know what? And it's not even – I actually thanked him for, you know, everything that kind of went on, just because it really helped me. It motivated me, and it went from – you know, having one full ride scholarship to Northern Illinois, to being so upset about everything that went on, I focused and channeled it into, you know, working out, and ended up having 45 full ride scholarships to wherever you can imagine in the United States.
Well, so, it's nice that you are so nice that you're so forgiving, and that this bully actually inspired you. But I guarantee you, he had to change his underpants after you came up and said hello. Dave, last word from you.
Well, just we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Jarrett received a very nice award last night from his alma mater. Right? You were telling me about it the other day at the TV station from the University of Miami. Congratulations!
What's the award?
It was just the University of Miami Alumni Chicago Chapter
Award. Nice.
They give out. And to have guys like John Vilma and Greg Olson come back, I mean, to me, that was an honor last night. And Coach Rick, I mean, what we're doing at Miami, we're on our way back, man. And I'm seeing everything creep up, but our university as a football team is on our way back, and just to be able to be a part of it, it's pretty special. So I'm looking forward to being a part of some of the stuff that we're doing at the University of Miami this coming up year as well.
So you see the Cats and the Canes in the BCS championship game? Is that seems where we're
right.
going?
That seems right.
Hey, you never know what can happen, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, buddy. Congrats. Give them the foundation website again.
JarrettPayton.org. Please go. And if you guys like the golf, man, we would love to have you guys as golfers. So let's make it happen.
All right, man. Thank you. And now Jarrett can go back to bed, because I'm guessing he slept about 12 minutes.
Right.
Time for your traffic. Here's Mary. Yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour, where CLTV joins us every day, Lou Piniella dropped by. It was great to see him. I haven't seen him in a long time. His new book with Bill Madden, the New York Daily News writer, about Lou's life is out. It's called Lou. L-O-U, and I hope you get it, because it's got a lot of great baseball stuff in there, a lot of great Lou life stuff in there, including a lot of tough stuff in there, and a beautiful picture of his family, and some good Cubs notes as well. Anyway, here's a clip of yesterday, and of course the podcast is available at WGNradio.com and every place else you get a podcast.
I like the red wines. My favorites are the Cabernets from California.
Okay.
And then I like the Pinot Grigios, and, mm-hmm. and I like... the Noors from Oregon. So,
okay.
But listen, I like Napa Valley wine. I really do. But my favorite, I'm not going to mention it, because I'm not getting paid to mention my favorite wine. I'm just joking. But, you know, the Italian Barolos are really, really
absolutely.
Good. Absolutely. I mean, they really are. But I can't say the word, what is it, sommelier?
Sommelier?
What is it?
Yeah.
I call him wine steward.
The wine guy.
The wine guy.
Hey,
where's
yeah.
the
that
wine? Bring
out.
The wine guy over here and recommend a really good bottle of wine. Not too expensive.
I know you got to run, and I know you're running around town, and you love when people come up to you, but I worry about one thing with you. And I know we stay in touch, but who are you yelling at? Do you have like a do you have an umpire that comes by the house? You can yell at him occasionally. How are you getting rid of that tension?
That wouldn't be bad, truthfully. I mean,
Steve, what are you doing later?
There's got to be something, because I know
my wife doesn't want to hear any yelling.
Oh, I know your wife. I know you're not yelling at your wife.
At her,
yeah,
no.
You may get some in reverse.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to do that for you for your birthday or Christmas. I'm going to send you an umpire. Just send you an umpire, and you can dress him down in the driveway.
There you go. There you go. And have him bring a base or a little dirt or something, too.
Yeah. A soft one in case it goes hurling.
Actually, the umpires are my buddies. You know, a lot of times I got kicked out of games, right?
Right.
The next day I'd have a nice gift certificate for him to go eat dinner at a nice restaurant. I learned that from Billy Martin, you know?
Tell the story about when you went out and asked which umpire was going to throw you out.
Oh, and I got in trouble with baseball with that. The Major League Baseball didn't like that very much. People don't realize it, but when a team is struggling,
the
manager at time has to do something to pick them up a little bit. So this particular day, we're in Baltimore. We weren't playing very well, and I went up to the plate to hand in the lineup card before the first pitch, and I asked the umpires. I said, look, we're struggling here. Any close calls, I'm going to be out. Who wants the responsibility of kicking me out tonight? And the home plate umpire said, no, don't bother me. He says, I've kicked out a few players in the last few days. The league told me to. Finally, the guy at third base says, come see me. And that's exactly what I did. And I was out of there quick.
There was a Sunday here. I don't know if it was 07 or 08 where maybe it was late May and the team was maybe around 500. And it was the same deal where you said you were going to get kicked out that day?
Well, you know, truthfully, this is the truth now. John McDonough had come into my office and said, you know, I brought in this fiery guy, and you haven't argued with any umpires. He said, when are you going to go out there and excite the fans a little bit? I said, well, it's coming.
It's time.
And that particular day, bang, bang play at third base, and the poor young umpire from Brandon, Florida, I forget his name,
but
nice young man, good family guy, and I go out and argue with him, and before you know it, we're bill to bill and yelling at each other, and all of a sudden they start throwing stuff all over the field, and the umpire behind home plate, Uncle Bruce Fleming, comes over and he says, look at the mess you've created here, he says. You hit. I had a reservation at 5 o'clock, and I'm not making it to eat dinner.
Look at the mess.
A million stories, and a lot of them are in the book, and I hope you get it. If you love Pinella like I do, and a great, great history of baseball, including a lot of stuff in here about the Cubs and your time with the Cubs.
Yeah, the Cubs were I am so happy that I came here for 4 years. My only regret, obviously, is we didn't go to a World Series when I was here, but. Wrigley Field, the Cub fans, the Cub convention.
In this great city.
This great city of Chicago. Yeah.
And I saw you know, more Pinella.
The amazing thing
too.
About it is, when I left here, I was weighing 240-some pounds. That's a damn problem, you know?
There were more Pinella jerseys in the stands than players.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah.
Really?
I still see a Pinella jersey walking around.
I'm so honored. I am. It was a great way to close out my career. The only regret, Steve, that I have is I didn't finish. I went home at the end of August. My aunt, my mom. When I got home, my mom wasn't really, really doing well. She passed away that following spring. Yeah. But you know, I could have finished. And what are you going to do?
Circumstances.
Look, family is family.
That's
exactly
right.
I did the same thing in Seattle when I was called after 10 years over there. I went home and spent some valuable time with my dad. So the family to me is very important. Baseball was certainly very important, too. But, you know, family's family.
Well, that's one of the great things about Chicago. Nobody argued with that decision.
Yeah.
Nobody said, what's Lou doing? Because he knew it was your mom.
Yeah. Mom is mom. And she was my encourager throughout my whole life.
No kidding. Kicking your butt and keeping you straight.
There you go. Exactly.
Lou Pinella. The book's called Lou, and it's recommended. It's 7:01. News next. 7:13 now, and coming up in just a few minutes, I'm going to play back Dave's conversation with Pete Pistone this morning about the Indy 500, which goes off Sunday. What time?
Sunday.
What time's that flag drop, Dave?
The flag drops, I think it's 11-ish, isn't it? Let me double check.
And the race goes,
it's Indiana and the time change, the time zones.
And depending on traffic, the race could be 4 or 5 hours long.
Is it good?
Sandberg's here. Your dad's birthday today?
It is. Happy birthday, Daddy.
How old is Dick today?
62. He's, I think, like 5 days older than Dave.
Is that right?
Yeah. And my mom, if you recall.
Must have been a good year. They both look good.
She turned 62 on May 13th when we did the Mother's Day show.
Right. Well, May 12th. So we celebrated her birthday. Hey, Mary, did you make a cake for Sandberg's dad?
I'm sorry. I wasn't notified.
Oh. You know what? That's okay, Mary, because he doesn't really eat cake. The only sweet thing, yeah, he's not, they don't do sweets, my parents, but he will maybe sometimes have like one scoop of really dark chocolate ice cream. But that's
one
it.
Scoop, very wow. disciplined.
Yeah, and he probably eats half of it and then puts the other half in the freezer.
That's why they look so good.
Yeah, they're not eaters, like, I mean.
They're not eaters. No. Wait, what?
You gotta have chocolate once in a while, though. Chocolate's good survive? For you.
I mean, they eat, but they're not like, they're not big portion people.
They don't eat like me, in other words.
No, yeah, right. They don't. My dad always said, he raised us like we are European, like we Mediterranean diet and
I don't think there was a Mediterranean diet when you were a kid.
Well, we ate a lot of fish and salad. Protein and no carbs.
Yeah. So, Steve, your mom not Mediterranean?
No. We're definitely American.
There actually is a new Mediterranean diet out. You know, it's kind of like a Seattle Sutton, and it's created by a Greek doctor.
Ah.
So we'll try and get him on.
Well, there you go. That's like my dad will get, you know, those long, thin breadsticks that they sometimes have at a restaurant, like the thin, crunchy one. He will milk one of those for a good 45 minutes to an hour, taking one little nibble.
So what you're saying is Dick Sandberg eats like a girl.
Yeah.
No. On a date.
Here's a text. Hey, guys, it's my son's birthday. I'm trying to convince my wife to make the Portillo's cake for him, but she's not buying it because of the mayonnaise. I got her listening to in the morning to you guys. Please go over how good the cake is. That would be great for me. I'm Brian. And Mary's cake is as good as Portillo's, if not better.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing to me that everybody keeps asking me for this recipe. It is the easiest thing in the world. You can find it online anywhere. All you do is say Portillo's chocolate cake recipe.
Easy to make for Dave's birthday for next week.
Yeah, sorry, I won't be here.
It is the
That's why you guys can make it.
What'd you
so
say,
easy.
Steve?
I'm just kidding. It's the kind of cake that you eat, and then you have to have a moment with yourself after you eat it.
Do you feel so bad?
No, because it's so good.
And the mayonnaise is just the oil part. That's what the mayonnaise. It's like,
yeah.
So just a cup of mayonnaise. It's just a moisture. Every cake has a moisture.
That's the magic ingredient, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I know, but that person, Brian's wife, is complaining about the mayonnaise.
Yeah, fighting about the mayonnaise isn't going to win.
It's just the oil.
Yes. Can I be honest about something, just to save everybody a little aggravation?
I know what you're going to say.
If Mary made the cake, I wouldn't eat it anyway.
I know.
Dave
doesn't
eat cake. Which I love your cake. It's nothing against your cake, Mary.
I would be personally offended by that statement.
Dave, I thought you ate a piece of chocolate cake the last time I brought it.
Well, I did. I did, but I'm trying to get you off.
Oh, okay, so your standards are just flexible.
No, I'm trying to get you off the hook here, Mary.
I will tell you, coincidentally, Dave's daughter, Lindsay, is coming in studio on Tuesday for his birthday because of Rib Fest, and there'll be ribs, so he can eat ribs for his birthday.
There you go.
He won't eat ribs. Oh, he might.
His daughter is.
My daughter's. I will have a rib.
He's eaten ribs. Seen him eat a rib before.
Yeah. Mary, I just want you to know I like your cake, even though Dave thinks it's crap.
I don't think it. No, I don't. Look, they had a cake for us the other day for all the May birthdays upstairs.
The reason you didn't get that cake is you were talking to me.
I was talking to you,
Dave missed the
and there was an email, which I never got, so they sang happy birthday to all the May birthdays.
And you were in
I was talking to Steve Cochran.
But you wouldn't eat the cake anyway.
No,
so
I was going to work out, so I didn't eat the cake.
So it's all win-win.
You know I didn't care for that cake that much anyway.
There's a reason you and Dick Sandberg look great, and frankly, I'm sick of both of you. It's 7:17. Let's get traffic from Aaron.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Everybody's crazy bundled up on Michigan Avenue this morning. Isn't it going to be like 80 today?
No, it's going to be about 70. It's always cooler downtown, though, and windy.
Well, but there's people walking in the shade. That's why they need a coat.
There you go. Actually, it's a high of 69 today, so not quite 70.
Well, I'm dressed
in the burbs, though, I think it'll be nice.
I'm dressed in case golf breaks out, as usual.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. And there's going to be rain later on, too, so just FYI.
Yeah, just don't get the heavy coats. You know, if you're going to walk, listen. Again, my ADD is pretty significant. You walk by the window, I'm going to notice stuff like that. I just want you to know that I'm not the only one in the fishbowl.
Well, she was wearing big pants, a big long parka, and a scarf.
Yeah.
There was someone. There was
might
a
be
woman,
a circulation issue at some point.
There were some people yesterday at the Walk of Fame, and I know it's windy, and I know we're in the shade for some of it, but people were in scarves literally around their faces like it was winter tundra.
It was weird Chicago cold for about half an hour yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Like in the middle of the day, it just was 4 degrees.
So. It was not. That's so not true.
Dave talked to Pete Pistone this morning. For people who don't know, Pete might be new listeners, Dave. How would you describe Pete? The best auto racing broadcaster ever? That's what I would say.
I would say that, yeah. He's on Sirius XM NASCAR radio, hosts Morning Drive right. every day, and he's worked for us for many years and covers NASCAR, covers IndyCar racing.
Smells like motor oil.
Yeah, he does a little bit. He knows the sport inside and out.
Yeah, so you talked to him before about the Indy 500 this weekend. Here's some of that.
You know, Dave, I think the story this year is a little more of an international flavor. There was so much attention to last year's race, the 100th running. Over 300,000 people there, and I think the Indy 500 has a lot of momentum going from that event. And this year, they got a different storyline with a driver by the name of Fernando Alonso coming in. He's a Formula One driver. Formula One is an European-based open-wheel circuit, runs really around the world. He's a two-time world champion, and he has decided to skip the Grand Prix of Monaco, which is the Formula One race this year, to run the Indy 500. He feels like this is something he wanted to do. He's running for Michael Andretti's team, which won this race last year with Alexander Rossi behind the wheel. And Alonso coming here has really given this event a little bit more of that international flavor that it used to have back in the day. So I think when you combine that with still the buzz of the 100th running from a year ago, I think things are looking upward for the Indy 500 coming back to a little more prominence these days, Dave.
Now, his decision hasn't exactly endeared him to his fellow Formula One drivers, as I understand it. How's he been received by the IndyCar drivers?
He has been received with open arms, and you're 100% right about that. I mean, the people he races with on a regular basis don't understand why he would skip, really, on the Formula One side, one of the most important races they have, and now he doesn't really have a chance to win the championship over there because he's going to miss a race. But on the flip side, he has really been welcomed at Indianapolis. The drivers have all enjoyed having him there. He seems to have been able to immerse himself into everything that Indianapolis has, the heritage, and yesterday at Media Day, he was a big hit. He had the biggest gathering around him of all the drivers that were there. So he's starting fifth as well. So, you know, he's never run an IndyCar before. He's on an oval track, which they don't run oval tracks in Formula One. It's going to be a challenge for him, but I think everything we've seen of him on track and off track, he's been a really big hit in Indianapolis so far this year.
So he's got a shot.
I think he does. You know, it's funny, the guy that won last year, Alexander Rossi, sort of the same idea, not anywhere in large stature like Alonso, but his background was more of that kind of racing. He had never run oval tracks before, and I think it proved that if you're a good driver and you're in good equipment, which is really the key, and Michael Andretti's team puts out good equipment, I think you do have a chance. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, Kurt Busch from NASCAR came up to run the Indy 500. He'd never run an open-wheel car before, did the same thing, ran with Michael Andretti, and wound up finishing sixth, so he was competitive. So I do think Alonso, if he can have everything break his way, no mechanical issues, he'll be in the mixer, I think, for a win on Sunday.
All right, who are the drivers to watch otherwise, the favorites here? I mean, you've got Team Penske, Ganassi. Who are some of the guys that maybe fans have become familiar with over the years who really figure to be in the mix again this year?
Yeah, and those are the two powerhouses, Roger Penske's team and Chip Ganassi's team. And Chip's got a guy on the pole, Scott Dixon. I think he has come into the weekend pretty much as the odds-on favorite. He's won the championship before. He's won this race before. And Ganassi has one of the top two teams in the garage area, but in terms of equipment, really high up the food chain. If you go over to the Penske side, there is a familiar face that's come back to run with Roger's team this year, and that's Juan Pablo Montoya, who won the Indy 500 a couple of times, went to NASCAR for about 4 or 5 years, didn't quite work out there, has come back to open-wheel racing. He's not running full-time, but he is really competitive this year, and I think there are a lot of folks that feel the sentiment could be you might see him go back to the victory lane there at Indianapolis, and I would not rule out the man who won this race a year ago, Alexander Rossi. He, again, qualified well. He's starting on the front row, outside the front row in the third position, and now with that experience, he's feeling very much at home. So, you know, what's funny about this race is you could probably rattle off, I would say, maybe a dozen names that I would not be surprised to see drinking the traditional milk in victory lane. I think it's that competitive this year. And I think, again, that bodes well for this race. Yeah, there's some names and some favorites, but there's also an opportunity for somebody maybe who, like last year, Rossi, who is not a household name, being in victory lane on Sunday. I think it's going to be a competitive race. on Sunday afternoon. I really do.
Pete, you've been around this for so many years. What is it about the Indianapolis 500? I've only been to one, and it was unforgettable. But what is it about it that will have 350,000 people at the Speedway on Sunday?
You know, it's really one of those transcendent sporting events, Dave, as you know, being there. It's the Kentucky Derby. It's the Masters. You don't have to follow auto racing to know, when I say Indianapolis and the 500, what it means. And to be in that stadium and with all those people, the electricity, the heritage of this sport. And I think that, again, there's been some years and, you know, quite frankly, we've had the open wheel side of the auto racing world sort of fall off in terms of popularity, but it's starting to come back. And I think this is just one of those, you know, truly American events that has, as I say, now started to really enjoy a little bit more of a surge in popularity. So it's a tradition, Memorial Day weekend. It's very patriotic. But I tell you, I've been there. I'm not going to be there this year, but I've been there about maybe 10, 12 times for this race. And you get that same feeling and chills when you roll onto that property there, that historic racetrack.
You got a pick?
You know, I want to go with Alonso. Why not? I mean, I'm a guy that likes to talk about stories and write about stories, and that would be a great story. And like I say, he's not coming from last place. He's not driving a rust bucket. He's in a real popular car and a real powerful car. So why not? Let's go with Fernando Alonso. That'd be a great story, I think, for Monday morning.
Nobody better. Pete Pistone, host of Morning Drive on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Pete, enjoy the race. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave.
Nice job, you and Pete, and Juan Pablo Montoya was in here the other day as well. You can get both of those interviews in full when you go and pick up the Steve Cochran Show podcast.
And the race does start around 11 o'clock Chicago time, a little after, by the time they sing. Jim Cornelison, by the way, is singing back home in Indiana.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know he knew another song.
No, he knows lots of songs.
He does?
Yeah.
All right, 7:30, big story next on the... Happy Friday, people.
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face, I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place.
It's musical director John DeCoste.
Now I've tuned to you, the day's all right with me. Yeah.
He did this in a closet upstairs.
The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
He's really good, isn't he?
Love it.
Karaoke final next Wednesday, where the listeners sing in their cars from our parking lot. Grand prize winner is going to get a great stay at the incredible Peninsula Hotel, and either breakfast the next day or dinner the night before. I guess
we're going to say their lunches, their breakfast and lunches are fantastic.
Yeah, well, the hotel's fantastic.
Yeah.
At 7:42, remember last week we were talking about millennials and the adulting school.
Yes.
And the adulting school has taken a lot of grief since the concept came out. I'm not interested in giving the adulting school a hard time. I'm just sort of sad that we need it.
Right.
Because to me, it's parents dropping the ball.
It's like teaching the millennials how to have manners and how to live.
And just basic life skills.
Lifestyles, yeah.
Yeah, life skills. I mean, is there home ec in school anymore?
There
or some
used
version
to be.
Of it?
Remember, we had that. We had typing. And then we had a class called General Business, where you learn how to balance a checkbook.
Yeah. Well, that was all. Dave, remember the 70s when dinosaurs roamed the earth?
Yeah, I do.
Wasn't it called home economics? You learn how to balance a checkbook, and you learn how to do things that... Just basic grown-up stuff.
I never took it, but yes. I got out of it.
It's called something else now. Family something or consumer something.
No, it's called General Business.
Is that what it is?
Well, when I was in high school about 10 years ago, yeah.
Okay.
That's what we called it.
Rachel Weinstein. Weinstein or Weinstein, Rachel?
Weinstein.
Rachel Weinstein joins us now. All right. So you founded the adulting school. You're a partner in it. What is your role?
I am the co-founder.
Okay. I get why you're doing this, and I get why it's needed. I just wish we were doing a better job of teaching kids. Am I wrong about that?
I completely understand your feeling. There's a lot of people who share that feeling, but I think it's just more, it's more complex than like, why don't people know this stuff? Because it's really related to sociological changes over the last 150 years. And you guys were just mentioning home ec, which, is now called, you were mentioning the name change, family and consumer sciences.
Of course, because that makes
sense. That's what it is.
Yeah. Those classes and the basic business, you know, basic finance classes have been cut. And a lot of it is because a huge number of kids now these days, I think it's like, I don't know, two-thirds are going into college. And college has become, you know, really necessary for a higher wage often. And so with the college prep pressure, kids are after school, they're not going home to learn side by side with their families about cooking meals or, you know, taking care of the household. They're going to theater practice. They're going to track practice. They're really encouraged and pressured. And of course, this depends on the demographic, but they're really encouraged to do this. And so there's a lot of time where they're just not exposed to how to do this stuff.
Yeah. And honestly, I think
a lot of the parents.
My kids are 30 and 26, and I think in a lot of cases it's Dave, it's our generation of parents. You too, Mary. We were the first it certainly feels like we were the leaders of the pack. The first do everything with your kids, get your kids into everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's exceptions to every rule, but because of that, you do miss out on not just family time, but you also miss out on time to teach your kids stuff. So generally they become, it's not out of, you know, it's not out of malice. You're trying to make things great for your kid. But then your kid goes off to school and they don't know what to do with themselves.
Exactly.
So,
I definitely think we've definitely seen a lot of people wanting to blame parents. And I think, you know, there's always crappy parents out there. But I think a lot of parents are doing the best they can to really nurture their kids. And sometimes that turns into helicopter parenting where you're not letting your kids learn the hard way, you know, or learn by having high expectations for them taking care of their own stuff.
I remember my wife and I were amazed when our daughter and our son came back from college and they could do stuff. And it wasn't because they didn't know how to do anything. It was just like, well, look, you don't have to tell them to take the garbage out. You don't have to tell them to clean this up or clean that up. You don't have to tell them to do stuff because they were actually living on their own. And, you know, the reference that I made before of balancing your checkbook, how old am I? Kids don't need to learn how to balance a checkbook anymore. They need to know how to spend their money.
Having a sense of how much money you have and how much you're spending is still important, certainly.
Right, going online and checking your balance, making sure everything is up. You can use apps to do that now.
But understanding the value of money, because it's not even knowing how much is in the bank. It's knowing you can't spend it all.
Right, and how to invest. I mean, nowadays, that's mutual funds and stocks and things
like that.
How to save.
So at the adulting school, what other stuff do you guys teach?
We've changed the name. The Adulting School is still a part of what we now are calling the Adulting Collective because we're really emphasizing the fact that this is that we are a community of people all learning together. I mean, my guess is that you guys are stellar in many aspects of adulting, but you probably have areas where you can learn too. And you know, sure. We're really emphasizing that everyone has things they can teach and things they can learn. But in the school part of the online, of the website, there's that's where you take the courses. And so there are things like, you know, maintaining your belongings so that you don't have to throw them out or replace them. You know, how do you sharpen knives? How do you, you know, what do you need for a really good toolkit in your home? What are the basics that you need so that you can fix stuff? And how do you fix basic stuff?
I never thought about that.
But don't kids have the big advantage?
How do you patch a hole in the wall?
What'd you say, man?
Don't kids have the big advantage now of just going and Googling it when they want to learn how to do something?
Well, they do, but it doesn't
mean that advantage.
But I think there's a 1-2 step to the process. I think if you go to school to learn it, you're more likely to put it to use as opposed to, I got to Google it. I'll just call my dad.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that the information is definitely, you know, out there, and it's amazing the amount of information. And sometimes that can be really overwhelming. You know, you do a Google search and you're like, which of these million hits that I just got should I follow? Which is the right advice? And so we're really kind of curating which we think are really quality pieces of advice that present the information in a really accessible, interesting, direct, accurate way. But we're also kind of functioning as the school part as an accountability group, so that not only not only are we teaching, but there's also the, like, okay, we're going to talk about how to start an emergency fund and why it's so important, and we're going to check in later tonight and talk about, you know, what options you've researched and how much you're going to put in, and then tomorrow we're going to talk about, you know, how that went. So,
Rachel,
because we all know that, you know, you set up exercise, you have an exercise buddy, because it can be hard to get to the gym when you're tired or whatever, that kind of thing.
Rachel, where do you think the communication broke down? I mean, we all tell stories about our parents teaching us, you know, and my dad telling the story about when he went off to the Army and, you know, his dad talking to him about certain things, and we can go back generations. But where do you think, specifically with this generation, the millennials, the communication broke down to the point where we need kind of an adulting school now?
I think it's the activities, yeah. Don't you? I think it's the overemphasis on all the other kids are doing this, so I got to my kid up.
And the scholastic pressure, academic pressure,
yeah.
I think, to get into these
schools. Yeah, the academic pressure, I think that, you know, about 150 years ago, kids started going into schools and learning, you know, math and reading and writing, and not just kind of growing up in the family business. And so that's, I think, kind of some of the origin of it, that they started learning a lot of other stuff. And then as in the 60s and 70s, you know, there's an aspect of the fact that marriage and parenthood started to be put off a lot more. I mean, some of that is just because of the accessibility of birth control. Some of it is like social changes. But so this 20s, the period of the 20s, when people used to really kind of know what their path was, that they, you know, that maybe they go to college or they finish high school or whatever, they get married, they have kids, they get a job, you know, it's kind of a set out path for them. Now it's so much more wide open, and that's interesting, and that there's a lot of freedom in that, but there also becomes a lot more uncertainty, and there can be a lot more anxiety. And then we have, you know, an incredible amount of information with the web. And I think that's a part of it too, is that it's not necessarily that this is the first generation that's struggling with it, but it's more visible because they have social media. This is really the first generation that's able to talk about what's difficult about adulting in such a visible way.
What's your website for people if they're curious and want to see what you guys are doing?
Right now it is still theadultingschool.com. In a couple weeks we're launching the new site, and it's really going to be excellent. So we are switching over to the Adulting Collective, but people will still be able to find us through theadultingschool.com.
Nice to talk to you. Thanks for coming on. You know what else we were talking about yesterday, Mary and Andre? You and I were talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
The words that our parents used that we don't say anymore.
Isn't that funny? I know my mom has all these expressions. Yeah, and John DeCoste was saying this too. My mom joked around the other day and said, oh, don't be a burnt boot.
Yes, I've never heard that. And I brought up rigmarole the other day.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of rigmarole.
Exactly. Yeah, these old expressions that, you know, you hear and you think, wait a minute.
So there's your mini text question. What's the word your parents used to say and you still don't know what it means?
Right. Or the expression.
Yesterday I was saying dapper to a bunch of people that looked dapper, like Kevin Powell looked
Don't
really
you look dapper?
Oh, yeah.
And Kevin looked at you like, what are you talking about?
Dapper. Yeah.
I just said to Steve a few seconds ago, who did I just say was a delight? And I said, oh, that's such an
right, that's
old lady
word.
Term. my grandma would say that. Oh, she's a delight.
My father always used to put the kibosh on things.
There you go.
Which I found out later was a German word, but something I'm sure that came out of his World War II experience.
Right.
But put the kibosh on it. Stop it.
Right, right. One more thing my mom says, she'll say, well, you don't have to, basically, you don't have to be the last one to leave the party, but she'll say, you don't have to wait, you don't have to hang around until the last dog is hung.
What?
What?
And
who's
I'm
hanging
thinking,
dogs?
Who's going to hang the dog?
What a terrible party.
I know.
Why's your mother going to that party?
Oh, I know. So I don't get it, but I understand the premise, but.
A texter line, 312-981-7200. What's the things your parents said that their words that didn't exactly make the cut, that didn't exactly get to your generation or ours? All right, so 312-981-7200.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Dean Richards live on the road. Where are you?
Good morning to you. How are you?
Doing fine. Where are you?
I'm two blocks away from you right now.
Where?
at the American Writers Museum. Did you even know that there was an American Writers Museum two blocks away from you?
I didn't, but I'm going to pretend I did. Is that the one near South Michigan?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's, well, it's two blocks south of you. It's at 180 North Michigan Avenue.
Right.
And it's just opened up. It's actually pretty cool. It's a museum that celebrates writing and writers, and it's a very hands-on museum with all kinds of innovative, interactive exhibits that, you know, talks about famous books, famous writers.
Well, it's nice. It's, we should
Chicago,
have one of those.
Chicago writers.
Surprised that there wasn't one already.
Yeah, because I know how to party on a holiday weekend.
And I'm guessing many of the writers featured there have been dead for a long time.
Many of the writers, in fact, now that I think of it, as I walk through here, almost everybody's dead. So again, I know how to party on a holiday weekend.
I believe the other reason you volunteered for that assignment was because on the monitors here in the studio this morning, we are watching Kenny G wander around the newsroom playing his saxophone.
That is correct. That is correct. Steve, I have not spent the last 15, 20 years going through electroshock therapy to try to get my WNUA years out of my psyche, only to have it destroyed by that curly-headed monster.
Listen, I totally get it. I can't go by a real estate sign without having a twitch because of Sam Zell.
Yeah. He's meandering around the studio, too, around the newsroom, and now he's on set. Dean.
Yeah.
Was he around my desk? Did you notice when he was in the newsroom? Did he go by my desk?
He was rifling through your things.
Yeah, but yeah. He also played over your chair in some sort of curse-like fashion.
I will be able to smell that smooth jazz stench when I go back on Monday. That's all I know. You know what? Kenny G's a nice guy.
He is a very nice guy.
He's a very, very nice guy. All I can say is you spend 3 years of your life playing exactly the same song over and over about every 35 minutes.
What was that hit? What was the name of the hit?
Songbird.
Songbird, that was it.
You mean the name of the hit? Do, 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 do.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's the one.
We all knew it is.
That's the one. And by the way, the melody for all the rest of his songs are also do, 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 do.
Hey, good seeing you yesterday at the Walk of Fame. Who'd you connect with that made you smile?
Well, you, of course.
Yeah, I mean, other than me.
And then there was you, and then after that it was you.
Right, it was all me.
Honestly, I mean, it was really nice to see everybody, because I got to say that. What else am I supposed to say? But Bob Collins' widow, Christine Collins,
she's so great.
Was there, I had a nice long talk with her, and she's doing great. It's always really nice to see her. What I love is that we're talking, and I'm looking at her, and she's got like a little purple highlight in her hair.
A streak, yeah.
I'm like, look at you, you punk rocker, you.
Oh, I got to tell you, I didn't notice that.
Little purple streak in her hair. But,
oh, yeah, that's cool.
She's doing like the all-night rave clubbing thing?
It's like a deep purple.
I think so. But it was so great to see her. And this Walk of Fame Day has just, you know, become like such a, you know, of course, congratulations to everyone who was inducted this year. But it's just like a big class reunion of everybody that we grew up with at WGN from, you know, my many years there, but from even before my years there. Everybody comes back for the Walk of Fame induction and, you know, hang out. And
it's a lot of fun. It
really
is.
Nice day. Yeah,
it really is. And thanks for giving it some pub, too. All right, so the movie situation for the weekend, is there anything we must see?
I would say if you're looking for something kind of fun, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales is kind of fun. I wound up giving it a Dean's List B. I think the franchise is still alive. You know what? I'm sorry. I like Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow. I don't think the character is, you know, finished or over with. I think it's fun. It's still silly. You know, it's still a lot of things. So I'm recommending this. What I really like in this movie is Oscar winner Javier Bardem is the movie's villain. He's a ghost captain who is out to settle a score with Johnny Depp. And
sounds like my weekend.
Yeah, his role is great, but the special effects and what they do with him in this movie, along with the fun of Jack Sparrow, this mischievous fun, is one that I'm recommending that you see. Now, on the other hand, if you want to go see a movie that is so bad that it's entertaining, you got your Baywatch.
Well, you know what's funny is Sandberg was telling me that Roper was doing like a detailed review of this with Roe yesterday, breaking it down. Why are we surprised it sucks? It's Baywatch the movie.
It's even worse than, I mean, the TV show was popular. The TV show
was popular because there were hot girls running in slow motion.
Exactly right. And this movie spoofs that. And there are times where this movie is so bad that even the actors know that it is. And they kind of make fun of themselves. They know often what they're doing is so ridiculous that they make fun of it. The big problem in here is that they also try to work in this big crime caper and this whole thing, a big drug cartel kind of thing.
On the beach?
Yeah, well, yeah. It is on the beach, and, you know, the lifeguards become super crime fighters.
Of course they do.
In this, which makes it even more ridiculous.
I mean, obviously they do.
The acting is, you know, marginal. The story is awful. But I got to say, at times, it was entertaining that it was so stupid. It's so ridiculous and so bad. There is a little bit of an entertainment value, which is the only reason that I didn't give it an F. I gave it a very generous Dean's List D minus.
Is this going to be, in some ways, detrimental to The Rock's hope to do Summer Shakespeare?
Yes, and also to be president of the United States.
Neither one. All right, I know you got to run and do TV. What else do we need to know?
All right. That's it. You got to know that I'm going to be on TV in about 20 seconds, so I got to dash.
See if I can kill 15 for you.
Okay.
All right, I'll let you go.
Goodbye.
There we go. Here we go.
This is for Dean. Take you back to smooth jazz, WNUA. What was the frequency?
95.5.
95.5 WNUA.
I just nodded off for a moment.
What elevator have you been in that this didn't play in?
I feel like I'm headed to the dentist office.
I was just going
to
say.
He really, if you ever met Kenny G, couldn't be a nicer guy.
Super nice guy.
Could not be a nicer guy.
I still feel like Mike does, though. I'm getting a root canal.
Oh, I could listen to this all day. Actually, I couldn't. Got some great texts from you guys on things your parents said that you never really understood. Words and phrases from mom and dad. I'm going to read you a few of those texts next. Here's Mary on Smooth Jazz 720 WGN. Mary!
Oh, excuse me. Okay. Sorry, laying down. Yeah. Traffic sponsored by McDonald's.
Somebody just texted, asked about Milt Rosenberg being in the Walk of Fame. Yeah, first year. First year.
Yeah, he was a charter member.
Yep. The original cast.
Was Dave Ennett a charter? Were you the first?
No.
Oh, the second.
Dave was year two.
Okay.
We just finished year four so far, you and I and Mary. Not in it,
I know.
Disciplinary thing as far as I'm concerned.
You know, I was thinking, do you think we'll be like the Susan Lucci of the Walk of Fame, like every year?
A lot of people say that to
me. We'll hope. And
a lot
then...
of people say, you're the Susan Lucci of the Walk of Fame.
I'm glad they just say it to you.
I said, no, I'm taller. 815 texter, Steve, my dad would say to me before I went out on a date, don't take any wooden nickels. That was one of my dad's, too.
My dad said that, too.
So where were the wooden nickels? And why would your girlfriend give them to you?
What does that mean? I never heard that.
Didn't they used to make wooden nickels? I mean, wasn't that the currency?
I don't know.
Back in the 1700s?
No, I don't think it was.
George Washington Day.
I don't think it was. Don't fall for any lies.
Yeah.
That type of thing? I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
847, what's a handbasket? And boy, it must be big if we're all going to hell in it.
That's another one, yep.
Yeah.
That made no sense.
Going to hell in a handbasket, going to hell in a hand cart, going to hell in a car with no brakes. Now, there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
Oh, you got the one that your mother said to you, you're not going to leave a party till the last dog is hung?
Last dog is hung, yeah.
You've researched this?
Someone sent me a link to this. They said, till the last dog is hung. It was actually from a novel by Stuart Edward White, where he said it was a point of honor with them to stay until the last dog was hung, but it literally means The quaint practice on the American frontier of hunting down and hanging every last despicable desperado down.
Oh, so it wasn't dogs, it was bad guys.
Yeah, bad guys, bad dudes.
Well, that's better.
Bad dogs. No, bad dudes.
312, what are you, Trump? 312.
Bad hombres.
My mom used to say discombobulated, never understood because I never knew I was combobulated. How'd I get discombobulated?
Right.
My dad would say urgy burgy when he wanted someone to get out of the way.
I've never
heard of
Urgy Burgy. Yeah,
that might have been just unique to him.
Yeah.
You're not going to go round and round like a button on a coal shed door. I think Dad worked in a mine.
Coal shed door.
My mother always said, gads, when she's upset. Or I guess it'd be gads.
G-A-D-S. Gads.
847, cat's pajamas. Apparently this person's parents were alive a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've heard that. He's the kid's pajamas.
708 from, well, I'll come just back to this one. 815, my mother says, harder than a brick bat. Harder than a brick bat.
Brick bat.
Oh, what is a brick bat? Anyone Dave? Know what a brick bat is? I got to tell you, this is interesting. Because we're all old. Well, not you.
Thank you, Steve.
We're all old, and we don't know a lot of these. I mean, Dave may be holding back.
I think.
You know what a brick bat is?
Brick bat is not, I mean, it's not a like a baseball bat. But I've heard
it's
the
a bat
word
you hit bricks with.
It's one word. It's a brick bat. I've heard the word brick bat.
Okay. Yeah, my dad did this one. 815. My dad would say, "Yeah, it's six of one, a half dozen of the other."
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah,
which means they're the same thing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's better to poke in the eye with a sharp stick. Yeah, I've heard that one too. If it's better than poking the eye with a sharp stick, and it's only a little better, it's a bad day.
Wouldn't any kind of stick hurt? Does it have to be sharp?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think you need sharp stick.
What's the one speak? Oh, no, that was a whole different thing.
And then 708 from my dad. We got a bunch more of these we'll get to later. When you're up to your ass in alligators, it's no time to clear the swamp.
Oh, that's good.
That is a good one.
Somebody called Trump with that as well.
I don't remember that part of it.
Doesn't that sound like information we should pass on to Trump?
Yeah.
At 831, we're going to do the big story in just a second on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
843, one of the privileges of doing this show is, on an annual basis more so, even though I'd like to see this guy more often than that, you get to bring folks back that mean a lot to you and mean a lot to all of us in the Illinois Gold Star Family Outreach Program. Is a big deal for that. My friend Jim Frazier is in studio. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Steve. I'm fine. Thank you.
Happy Memorial Day weekend.
It's going to be a beautiful one.
We talk about Gold Star families. For folks who are not aware of the term, you've lost a son or a daughter or a family member in service. You lost your son when?
Jake was killed March 29th, 2003 in Afghanistan.
What was the nature of the mission he was on?
Well, he was a joint terminal attack controller, Air Force, and he was embedded with a 12-man alpha team of Green Berets out in the Helmand province. His responsibility was to call in close air support when it was necessary.
Sure.
But he was, you know, a trigger puller, too. And they were, unfortunately, ambushed one day in a firefight, ensuing firefight, and he and one of the Green Berets were killed that day.
Not that it changes the outcome of the nightmare that you've had to live through, but did you ever find out in greater detail over the last few years of how that information got out where they could be ambushed?
Well, yeah, there were several rumors swirling
theories
around.
And stories.
Yeah, but then when I met with three of the Green Berets that came back and they filled me in, the ambush was really set up quite professionally. And they were visiting a town where U.S. dollars had purchased a clinic and a school. And they were visiting there with some civil affairs guys. Well, it turns out that the town elders and the police chief set up the ambush.
There's a whole different discussion that you and I could have forever about the tribal culture of Afghanistan and the moment we pull out completely, they're going to take the guns and start shooting each other. As opposed to shooting us, because the disputes have gone on for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. The Russians certainly found that out when they left. Some war, you know, it's not as simple as you can't help folks that don't want to help themselves. But some wars are beyond our comprehension or understanding. And Afghanistan now going on for all these many years. Can you imagine we're still there?
no one has ever succeeded in Afghanistan.
Right. Right.
No,
right.
Oh, through thousands of years. And the tribal culture that they have, there are numerous warlords all over the country, and they protect their area. And if it means having to work with the Al-Qaeda or Taliban, they do.
Yeah, to that end, to protect their small piece of the world. And village to village, you have those kind of moments where village elders will rat somebody out for their short-term good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So... the Gold Star family thing became very politicized during the campaign with the Khazir Khan family. And we're not here to talk politics, but one thing that people need to remember is when a family like yours goes through this and the ultimate sacrifice is made, there's not a moment of time of that person that's passed that's not worthy of recognition or worthy of respect in that moment. Because it's not a life you chose. You certainly didn't get up one morning 15 years ago and, boy, it'd be great to lead the Illinois Gold Star families. I don't even know if you knew what it was back then, did you?
No, of course not. You're right. I think the circumstances with the Khan family, whether I agree with what they did in the manner that it was done, that doesn't matter to me as much as the fact that when they're wearing this Gold Star pin, that's a sign that we have a huge hole in our heart, and that never goes away.
Right.
Their loved one paid the ultimate sacrifice, and that has to be respected.
Respected and remembered and recognized.
Correct.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of people here, when we talk to you every year, and if people are still saying, hey, what is this? How do we get involved? Who are you there for?
Well, first of all, I should do a disclaimer that I am the coordinator in Northern Illinois for the Department of Army Survivor Outreach Services Program. I'm a contractor for the Department of the Army.
Right.
So I work full time with the families of the fallen.
Right.
That's my job.
Yeah.
And then aside from that, the Gold Star families of Illinois or other Gold Star groups, and they're all over the country. There really is no national Gold Star families group. There isn't one. But all over the country, all of us Gold Stars, we kind of do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We get together. You know, and part of my job is to coordinate.
To organize.
To getting the folks together.
And part of the job, too, is to keep your kids' name and story alive, right? Because we've talked about this. Yeah. When somebody meets you and they know what you've gone through, the best question they could ask is, well, tell me about Jake.
There you go.
Who was he? What was he like?
Yeah. Ask their name and then just say, tell me something about him.
Right.
How old was
Absolutely.
He?
Absolutely.
And then listen.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because people think the last thing you want to talk about is your son. It's the first thing you want to talk about.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is sometimes people say, well, I don't want to remind you of what happened.
Oh, no.
Like you forget.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and they mean well, but it's just because they're uncomfortable and they don't know what to say to somebody that's gone through what you've gone through.
Don't you notice, too, more people? I mean, we always say thank you for your service to you and for your son and to, servicemen and women, police officers, firefighters, too. Mm-hmm. But I notice a lot of younger kids saying that now, too, don't you, Steve?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you for your service. Yeah. And it is a wonderful thing. It needs to be acknowledged and, you need to be thanked.
And if you meet one of us, all you have to do, too, is say thank you for your family sacrifice.
Right, yeah, or thank you to Jake. Yeah. I mean, just say his name.
Yeah, yeah, that works.
Now, the get-together you do with these families is part of the government's outreach. There's a lot of things the government falls short on in regards to taking care of men and women who come back and the families that are still here while they serve overseas. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think the Gold Star program, they're doing pretty well with guys like you out there.
Well, I think, first of all, General Casey started this program about 9 years ago. And Army funded it, although I will work with any family, Marine Corps, Navy, whatever. But now the Navy just recently started a Navy Gold Star program. Yeah, it's great. As a guy that wears two hats, I truly believe that a big responsibility I have is getting them together, connecting. It's all about connecting, because when we're together, that is the best healing time. Mm-hmm. Then we can share like no others.
Yeah, nobody knows. Nobody knows what it's like unless somebody else has gone through it, right?
Yeah, and I'll get asked, one of the most common questions is, how long does this last?
You mean the pain?
Gosh. Yeah, and I say, well, unfortunately, it lasts forever.
Right.
But we do learn how to live with it.
Right.
And there are ways to live with it that are positive, and there's ways that are negative. The positive ways, I believe, is if you get out and do something for somebody else,
right,
then you're going to feel better about yourself. If you get out of yourself, you're going to end up feeling better.
Well, I know people that know you and have met you, and they don't, you know, feel like they can come up and ask you this, but I've asked you this before, and I'll bring it up again. And you've sort of answered it already. But people would think, my son goes through this, my family goes through this, the last thing I want to do is be around a bunch of folks who just went through it and are crying their eyes out. But it's therapy and healing for you on an ongoing basis, right?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. I think I'm an extremely lucky guy that, you know, that I can do what I do every day and help to organize and connect the families and provide whatever services and resources I can. I think I'm extremely lucky because of what it does for me. You know, if I'm doing something for them, great. If they get a positive, reaction. But every day, I get the best benefit.
Yeah, and these remembrance ceremonies that are taking place all weekend, I'm sure it's a wonderful reunion where everybody can get together.
Absolutely.
And you should attend to the wreath laying ceremony, the parade.
Well, it's very moving.
Well, just very wonderful events.
I'm glad you brought that up. First of all, I have to say, I've been sitting on the committee since 2004, you know, a year after Jake was killed.
Right.
The city of Chicago does the absolute best job in the whole country. Yeah. I talk to my leadership and the big army, and they're real aware of what Chicago does. And, you know, Mayor Daley kicked it off back in the early, he did the first breakfast in 2003 that I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing is Mayor Emanuel has not missed a beat.
Yeah.
He has carried on the tradition. His heart's in it. He's sincere. And then he puts to work all these folks at the Chicago Cultural and Special Events Group,
mm-hmm. Yep.
His folks.
Yep.
And they bust their butts.
Oh, they do. You know, yep, Mary.
Mary May, yeah. Mary all those folks. So what are you doing this weekend?
Okay, well.
Here we go, yeah.
Put it through the ringer, and now we'll get to the plug.
And Chicago's one of the few cities, major cities, that has a Memorial Day parade of this size.
Right. Yeah, well, I think it's the largest. I haven't found one
bigger.
It's
the largest, bigger. Right? Yeah,
I think it's the largest.
We start out with the mayor does a private breakfast at the Walnut Room in Macy's for all the families. So we've got like 250 Gold Star family members coming to a private breakfast.
Wow.
And the mayor's there, and the general officers from each branch that are invited are there. Nobody else. There's no media there. There's no extra politicians there.
That's great. That's the way it ought to be.
Oh, yeah. And it's super. And the families love it. They enjoy a nice breakfast, and they get to the general officers do a great job of going around and talking to them.
Right.
The mayor, he sits for about 30 seconds and shovels a couple of pieces of fruit. And then he's off meeting the families. And from there, we leave there and walk over to Daley Plaza and mm-hmm. do the formal ceremony. And the formal ceremony is great. It's not too long. It's not too short. And there's some awards that are given out and the Grand Marshal speaks.
Sure.
This year it's going to be General Walsh, Lieutenant General of the Marine Corps, who is a Top Gun instructor. And
sure.
He's the commanding general of all combat training
sure.
for the Marine Corps.
Great guy.
Cool. Yeah, cool to have these folks.
Sure.
And the families, believe it or not, they really appreciate those guys.
I'm sure they do.
And then this is the first year in a couple of years that we've had New Illinois killed in action. And unfortunately this year we have four.
Wow.
And two of the families out of the four will be at the ceremony. And the mayor and the general will do a presentation to them of a Gold Star banner. And the city had made just phenomenally beautiful challenge coins. It says Illinois Gold Star families on it, a big star. And they give that to the new family, too.
Well, that's great. Nice. It's a good point of unity. Yeah.
And then the solemn ending is to walk a wreath over to the eternal flame.
Right.
So myself and the new families take the gold star wreath and we go lay it there. And then the military guys lay wreaths, too. It
very moving, very significant.
It doesn't get any better for Memorial Day. It's done. If I could write a script for how to do Memorial Day,
yeah, this would be it.
It would be what the mayor's doing.
And he's an emotional guy and a caring guy. You can argue with his politics, but he really is at his heart. You see how he gets when he talks about his grandfather. You see how he gets when he talks about kids. And you see how he gets when he talks about the military.
He'll frequently choke up.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
It's great to see you. And I just want to let families know that if you are a Gold Star family, you're no one, and you got somebody who understands it but hasn't gotten involved, they ought to get a hold of you. But also people who might be struggling. If they're struggling and you know you've got a million resources that you didn't even know were out there, what's the best way to get a hold of you and what you do?
Oh, it's real easy. Just Google up Survivor Outreach Services. And it'll take you to a page, and you can click on Illinois, and you'll find me there.
It's great to see you.
Hey,
and thank you. And you are doing great work for Jake.
Well.
And he did great work for us.
I think about it every day.
I know you do.
Thank you.
Happy Memorial Day. And I do mean happy. And we're back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Bicycle. I want to ride my
bicycle. 9:13, MB Bike the Drive Time. Matter of fact, let's hold up our shirts so everybody on CLTV can see.
Ooh.
Right? How about that color? For those of you not watching, what would you describe this? Illini orange?
Illini orange. Bright orange. Team MB.
Awesome.
MB
not all orange is Illini orange.
Yeah, but this is a very bold neon orange color.
Look, Dave, there's a sort of northwestern bluish purple in there as well on the back.
There you go.
And whatever your school colors are, you can find it.
Dave and I have to say, you know, Dave's not doing Bike the Drive this year, but he did it last year, and we did the whole ride.
We did.
Jimmy DeCastro, 27 miles, the whole thing? 30 miles.
30 miles?
It's awesome.
30 miles. Lean right into that mic for me, Karen.
All right.
And identify yourself.
Karen Perlman from MB Financial Bank. I'm head of corporate marketing.
So you just told us off the air, more MB employees than ever in this, huh?
We do. We really made a large effort to engage our employees and bring them down with their friends and family. And we have about 800 or more people coming from MB.
And can you still get in?
You can still get in.
What do you need to do?
You need to go online to mbbikethedrive.org and sign up. And you can even save $3 if you use the code MBSAVE3.
Is there a sponsor minimum? You got to raise a certain amount of money or anything?
You don't have to raise any money at all. It's not a race. It's a ride. Yeah. You can be 5. You can be 95.
Right.
You know, just go out there and enjoy the day.
Where'd the concept come from? Do we know the history? Because I don't.
I am not sure where the concept came from, but I know.
When did
that
you guys get involved?
We got involved in 2010. Was
so you've been doing this for
year.
A while now.
We've been doing it for a long time.
This is the only time, aside from when the president is in town, that they shut down Lakeshore Drive completely.
Deal.
I know for the marathon and for other races, there's a lane or two that shut down, but the entire drive is shut down all of Sunday.
It's a cool visual.
Yeah, from Museum of Science and Industry all the way up to Hollywood.
You got it.
Yeah.
Now, do you have time to ride as well?
I am going to ride part of the time.
I like your plan.
Yeah.
Part of the time. I don't have time to ride the whole thing this year.
No, I like the plan. I'd ride a mile, stop, write a check, ride a mile, stop, hit the debit card. You know, just make sure I keep donating.
Actually, you know, the ride was started by the Active Transportation Alliance, which I believe was a bicycle federation at one time. And they're a nonprofit organization, and they work in the city and suburbs trying to make biking, walking, and public transit better and safer for all of us.
I don't know if it was Mayor, was it Mayor Daley that was pushing biking in the city before Rahm? Mayor Emanuel's been a big part of keeping it going. And obviously, you need a lot of cooperation from the city to pull this off.
You do.
We have become one of the premier biking cities, certainly in this country, haven't we?
We actually were the number one biking city in 2016, as said by Bicycling Magazine.
Yeah, Chicago has more different bike paths than any other city. I mean, you have the bike path along the lake. Mm-hmm. You have the one in the neighborhoods that have the plastic barriers and then the ones downtown here that are literally built around the bus stops, the CTA bus stops. So there's a variety of bike paths.
And it's not part of the topic with MV Bike the Drive this weekend. But you know what I've noticed? The bike, the messenger lane, the mm-hmm. inside lane. I thought it was a dumb idea. It's working like a charm.
Oh, it is. It's
How
great.
Many times now when you're driving down Michigan Avenue or State Street or anywhere where mm-hmm. it's tight quarters in rush hour,
yeah,
you don't have the messengers like flying in between you anymore.
It's perfect, yep.
So we're becoming more bike friendly. I give you guys credit for that too.
Okay.
And the Active Transportation Alliance is great because it's for biking, walking paths as well, and to make transit safe. And you can bring your bike now on the L. You can put it on the CTA bus right on the front. So, I mean, we've really become such a great biking city.
And, again, working to improve biking, walking, and transit all over Chicagoland through the Active Transportation Alliance. Now, the total length is what again?
30 miles.
Oh, the 30-mile challenge. Is there a percentage?
30-mile challenge. Although there is a lot of places where you can make a turnaround.
Yes.
So if you only want to ride 7, for instance, yeah. It's really easy to do that.
How many bikes are you estimating are going to participate?
We're hoping over 20,000.
Yeah. 20,000.
That's great.
And how many of that percentage-wise make the full 30? Do we know?
I don't know.
What's your guess?
I would probably say 50%.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe a little more than half, but
I think there were a lot of people doing it last year.
That's pretty good.
When we were doing it,
we start in Grand Park and then you go south to the Museum of Science and Industry and then again all the way back up, and we stopped at North Avenue Beach to stretch. And I think at that point we said, "All right, do we stop or do we keep going?" And then when we made the loop back around by Navy Pier, I thought we were going to die.
How long was it before your fanny felt normal again, Diff?
Oh, probably like. Not that long, really.
24 to 48-hour fanny recovery?
Yeah, I think something like that would be about right. I had special biking pants my wife bought me.
Oh, really?
Extra cushioning.
Look at you.
Cushion in the
birthday
back.
Gift. Yep.
Nice. The custom rider number thing is kind of cool. If you want to pay tribute to somebody, right?
I believe that's new this year.
Yeah. So this is something you can do with the registration on the website. Mm-hmm. You can throw in your nickname. You can mm-hmm. throw in the name for somebody else and kind of will pimp your ride.
You can do that.
Absolutely. The only requirement is you have to have a bike helmet. You have to be registered and you have to wear a helmet.
And you've invested in a new helmet?
I did. I bought a new helmet.
Colors? They're going to go with your shirt?
Well, I have I don't know. No, not this shirt.
Well, that's your show. That could be your completion of the run.
My helmet is gray and gold. So.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that would maybe match the back part of it.
You guys should have talked ahead of time. All right, what else do we need to know?
What you need to know is that there is also a free post-ride festival after the ride. Mm. And that is open to the public. It's going to have prizes, games, food, music. We have an MB fun zone for the kids with inflatables.
I'll pick up Grzanich and meet you there.
There you go.
And we have an a cappella group that was on America's Got Talent.
Oh, really?
And they will be there. There's another band coming. And new this year for the adults, we have a beer tent.
Dave.
Come on. I knew you were going to look at me.
Dave's suddenly back in.
No, I can't do it this year.
Hair of the dog, you are back in on Sunday morning.
Steve, right? I got a great idea. We've just been given a tandem bicycle if you want to ride with me. In a
how about that? Grzanich and bicycle built for two dudes.
Two dudes, yep.
Two dudes.
Even with a little clown horn on the front of it.
Yeah, and what we'll do is we'll do the last mile, like that woman that cut in line at the Boston Marathon 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Rode the Rosie Ruiz it.
We'll cut through some neighborhoods and go to the finish. finish line.
Yeah, we'll just go right to the festival afterwards where the food is.
And that won't be obvious with you two on a tandem bike either.
No. And by the way, that sounds like a hot look, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with your bright orange shirts.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm so bummed. I've always wanted to do this. Karen, is there ever a chance it'll not be on Memorial Day weekend?
It's always on Memorial Day weekend.
I know, but
the Sunday of
what is this, the family
Everybody's
tradition?
Everybody's always out of town.
Well, you're going to have to change your plans.
I guess.
Yes.
I've always wanted to do this.
I just love it. This weekend every year.
Can we do two a year instead?
Oh, that would be, delightful.
Let's add another one.
Yeah, Karen would lose her mind, but that would be great if we did a second one.
Come on, Karen.
Yeah. But Mary has a good excuse. She's going to see her first grandchild this weekend, right? Isn't that part of the trip?
Yes, I am.
Good for you.
Today.
Mm-hmm. Again, the website is?
mbbikethedrive.org. And we also have brought a couple of complimentary rides if you wanted to give them away to the listeners.
Wow.
Dave?
I suppose we could. All right, so free registration is what you're talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
All right, so then just call in and we'll hook you up with the proper authorities here. But you have to be available Sunday. You have to have a bike and a bike helmet. Other than that, you're good. Could I divvy it? Could I just rent a divvy for a while and do it?
You could do that. Yeah, there are actually a couple of different bike rental shops that provide services for the morning.
Cool. There you go.
That?
Divvy bike, you'd have to get off the drive.
Find a divvy.
Some people do that, though. Some people rent a divvy for the drive.
Yeah, but you can't rent it for more than a half hour, can you?
You can if you want to pay, if you want to extend your time.
Oh, yeah, you can
do it on the app now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For those people who
bring
their cell phone with to Bike the Drive. And
you mean like the one I dropped last year on Bike the Drive and almost caused a crash?
Well, let's not text and ride. Bike the Drive is MB Bike the Drive. And by the way, thanks to MB for all the partnership stuff we do together.
You're welcome. Thank you for being a great media partner with
us. We like what you guys do, too. Mm-hmm. We're back after this on 720 WGN. Got several other texts. This conversation started earlier today. We were talking about things our parents said, maybe words or phrases that don't make the cut anymore. They didn't stand the test of time. My mother always said, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
My mom says that, too.
Or son of a beehive.
She didn't say that.
Oh, I kind of say that.
Here's one I don't understand. I wish I had her nose full of nickels.
Maybe that means her money.
Does it?
I don't know.
Or does it mean she's got a big schnoz?
Maybe that too.
I wish I had her nose full of nickels.
Never heard that.
No.
Yeah, she said if I saw a woman with a big schnoz. My dad said, kiss my library card.
Oh, because you keep your library card in your back pocket
instead
probably?
Kiss my butt. Yeah. Are there still library cards?
There are.
Yes, there are.
Okay. Yeah.
Dad would say, does the Pope in the woods?
See, that's what I was asking you before. I don't get that.
Yeah, because you had one I'd never heard. Does Rose Kennedy crap in the woods?
Right. Mike Farron used to say that all the time, and I never got it.
Yeah, I
understand, does a bear blah, blah, blah in the woods?
Right.
Because it's kind of saying, that's obvious. But I don't get the Rose Kennedy thing.
Is the Pope Catholic? That's one that I'd heard before. How about, does the Pope want to take a photo with the Trumps? That's a new one.
You just made that up.
That one just kicked in.
Well, the one I had brought up to you, Steve, was if you have an abundance of something, you'll say, I have more Tupperware than Carter's Has Pills. I had no idea what Carter's Has Pills
meant. Yeah, the Carter's Little Pills thing, I think, was from the 20s.
Carter's liver pills, right?
I thought it was little. Is it liver?
I think they're little.
Liver pills.
Oh.
Yeah.
My mom always used to say that.
But it was for a lot of them.
So does Carter have a lot of them? I'm confused.
Apparently.
Okay.
There's one in here about a billy goat that I can't technically say on the air, but it did make me laugh.
Can you give us the premise? Or
hotter than a billy goat with two appendages.
Oh. Oh.
Okay. My mom had a lot, but my favorite was don't borrow trouble. What does that mean? Don't borrow trouble. A lot of these we don't know.
It means you just don't want any more of it. So
don't borrow someone's car because then you run into trouble.
I see what you're saying.
Right?
How about this one? You're like a Kansas City outhouse that got struck by lightning.
That seems like way too detailed.
And that seems really, really regional.
My mom has one more. This isn't really goofy. It's just she always used to say, when in doubt, don't.
Well, that sounds like actually good advice.
That is
good advice, right?
I got a good one from Faye.
Yeah.
She always used to say, what are you doing the St. Vitus dance for?
Wow. Yeah.
I don't get that.
St. Vitus.
That's a Catholic thing, isn't it?
It is.
I'm Catholic.
And apparently St. Vitus is the patron saint of dancing. And whenever you're like a little kid and you're like scrimming around, why are you doing the St. Vitus dance? Allegedly, that's what
Oh, if the kid's dancing around, if the kid's dancing around, who's the patron saint of I gotta pee?
Yeah. Or the patron saint of ADD.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
How about this? If wishes were horses, everybody would ride.
That's it.
And then they followed it up with, and if turnips had watches. What?
I don't get that.
You
know,
apparently, most of our parents and grandparents were drunk.
They had to use their imaginations because they didn't have all these screens and...
And iPhones, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Speaking of phones, payphone one. Here's a dime, call somebody who cares. A dime went to a quarter. Payphones went to crack dealers. Payphones went away.
Yeah, exactly. But I have heard that. Here's a quarter, call someone who cares.
That was a country song.
No,
here's a quarter, call someone who cares. Why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? That's if you're sleeping with him and, you know, I'm marrying him.
I've heard that, too.
And the horse you rode in on?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a great one, though. Why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? That's mm-hmm. such an oldie.
And then here's a couple that I can't really give you the full... I'll clean these up a little bit. I have no idea what this means. You talk like a guy with a paper butthole. What does that mean?
You talk like a guy.
I have no idea what that means.
With paper...
I don't know what that means.
That would get messy pretty quickly, I bet.
Yeah, it's no good. And then this one, it would make your ass chew gum. Well, first off, why would you do that? That seems completely counterproductive and wrong.
Maybe if you ate Cajun food or something.
What if it's bubble gum?
It's a problem. It's exactly right. 9:31, we'll take a break and come back. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10. And Dave, I know you got a big weekend. We want to congratulate. Young man is getting married. Worked here.
Mm-hmm.
His name is?
Jordan Birdfield.
We like Jordan.
Jordan worked in sports here.
Works for a long time.
Yep.
Is he still on the score?
He is not.
What's he doing now?
He's doing some college basketball games for
Shiftless. I hate to hear that.
What's that?
He's a drifter now.
This weekend he's getting married?
He is getting married tomorrow.
But we like Jordan a lot.
We do.
And we thought he would. I was a guy on the air going, you're never going to get a girlfriend, dude. You're never going to get a girlfriend.
Did he get invited?
He did.
And remember Bella was in here trying to help him, too,
we were trying to figure
time?
It out. Yeah. Because the problem was he would go out with women. Here and there, and when he did get a date, all he'd talk about was sports.
Yeah.
And not that women don't love sports, but hello, how about you shut the hell up and ask her about herself? So I don't know if he finally listened or if he found a woman that's completely blind.
No, you know what?
But this girl that he found, he's way over his skis with this girl.
Completely.
She's beautiful. She's talented.
Mm-hmm. She's so nice. We love her. We met her at Dave's birthday party.
I'd give it 18 months.
I think he gives... hope to the rest of the WGN sports crew because I'm the only married one, and maybe it gives hope to Kevin and to Sam and Carm
and Andy.
Bunch of losers.
Is Mike Jacobson going to the wedding? He's been going to a lot of them lately.
That's the only one he's not going to all summer long.
He wasn't invited to that one.
Yeah,
right?
That's the only one. But anyway, congratulations,
I didn't make the cut. I got invited to a surprise 30th birthday party, but did not make the wedding cut.
Yeah, I didn't either. I think if it wasn't for me killing Jordan on the air, they never would have gotten together. And it's too bad because you know my policy. Invite me to everything. I don't show up for anything.
You won't
but I
show
buy
up.
Great gifts.
You know, I really should reconsider inviting you to my daughter's wedding where we have a very tight guest list.
Yeah. Because you don't have to wait for my no.
That's the one that we're not invited to. That's
correct.
Right. Okay, got
but
it.
But maybe I can invite you if you promise not to come.
Right. And Lindsay gets a great gift. It's a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely.
What? That doesn't sound win-win.
Meanwhile, Mike Jacobson is going to his fifth of 10 weddings this summer. 10.
Jeez.
10. And he's not the maid of honor in one of them. So, 9:33. Back with more in a moment, including Craft Beer Week. Stand by in 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Beer.
Was that Homer? Was it good enough for Homer Simpson? Good enough for us? Craft Beer Week in Chicago. Dave wept openly when the craft beer guys came in just seconds ago.
It was tears of joy.
Yeah, I know that. Kevin Carrier is here from Beguile Brewing. And Bill, is it Wesselink, Bill?
You got it.
Bill Wesselink from Dovetail Brewing. You know Kevin, right?
Yeah, Kevin, we did a piece for House Smarts. It actually just aired last weekend, so it's still online at housesmartstv.com. For Lou Manfredini's show, of course, and it was on home brewing and, well, craft brew. And so we went to Beguile, and Kevin showed us around. We went through the whole process, showed us how to make beer, basically, and then took it to a smaller level because, you know, these craft brew home breweries and home clubs are huge now. So we went to, these guys have this club called Power Outage Brewing. on the northwest side.
Yeah, we used to call those speakeasies.
Yes, yeah. So we went back and forth. So we were kind of cross-editing between what Kevin was saying what to do and then the homebrewers, how they do it on a much smaller scale. But Beguile up on the north side, we had a blast up there. So thank you for your hospitality.
Well, and let me start with you, Bill. When the average guy at home tries to do what you do, do they get it right if they're, you know, practiced at it and work at it?
They sure do, especially if it tastes good. It's kind of all that matters.
Right, right. But there is an artistry to it.
There sure is.
And it's not something you just pick up and start tonight and you're great at it tomorrow.
You could be. You know, there are those people out
there. That are gifted?
Yeah.
They've got the beer touch?
And the beard touch.
Dave? So you guys are throwing a party called May Festiversary.
Correct.
All right. So what is May Festiversary?
So May Festiversary.
And by the way, aren't you guys rivals? You're like, right, these guys should be fighting with each other.
Yeah. We're across the street from each other, but I spend probably more time at Dovetail and
and vice versa.
Yeah.
Really focused on your brews.
Yeah.
And you guys, and I tasted, there was a beer. You would love this too, Dave, because I don't drink a lot of craft beer.
Apparently you drank more on this shoot.
I tell you, it was one of the best shoots we ever had. And yeah. There was a, what was it called, just coffee beer?
Oh, yeah, I think it was the coffee brown ale. Tough guy with coffee. It tastes like cold coffee.
Steve, it was awesome.
Really?
You would have loved it, Dave.
Dave, is there a beer
he's,
you don't
he's
like?
He's drooling.
Come on.
Yes. No, you don't have to bring me into every question.
I do if you're the booze. So May Festiversary is a chance for you two guys to get together, to bring the power of your two craft breweries together and throw a little party.
Yep. We close down the street between us, and we have a little block party. Last fall, we were celebrating our fourth anniversary. Dovetail wanted to throw an Oktoberfest, and we thought, hey, Oktoberfest anniversary, Oktoberfest-iversary.
Oh.
And coincidentally enough, the marketing gods had it right that it is now Dovetail's first anniversary.
Yeah, one year making beer so far.
Well, cool. That seems like you guys could do this, oh, I don't know, twice a year.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Hopefully more.
Yeah.
June Fest-iversary.
So what happens other than people coming in the closed-down street and sampling?
Oh, we got a stage with music,
okay.
Food trucks, fun and games for the whole family. To bring your dogs.
Got a balloon animal guy.
Now, here's the thing. You guys both seem pretty...
balloon animal guy.
Yeah, you know, the balloon animal guy is tough to book.
Actually.
Yeah. Is he hard to book?
So,
He's a great balloon animal guy? He's busy.
Yeah. But you guys seem very laid back, very relaxed about everything. I know. And your daughter does this professionally. You put on one of these block party deals, it's a lot of work.
Well, she's in their neighborhood, too, North Center.
Yeah, so your daughter knows this. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. I don't think any of this work is being done by you two. I think you two have nothing to do with it.
It's all Caitlin. together.
I think you guys sit back and go, you know, it might be fun, one of them balloon animal guys. And then somebody else has to make the call. Is that how this is working?
I wish it were that way, but no. You know, it takes a lot of organizing and, you know, actually I was joking around with Liz, our head brewer this morning. I was like, you know what would be great next time we do this? A schedule of the deliveries that we're going to get on the day before. And I'm the person responsible for them. I'm like, by the way, there's a beer trailer getting dropped off. There's, we're getting the porta potties.
Yeah, the porta potty. That's an important part of the story.
Right.
So what do people need to know about when you start the shindig?
Both days, it's 11 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Rain or shine.
Rain or shine.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the weather's going to be cooperative.
I've been relying heavily on Mr. Skilling this week. So.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Another boozer.
Right. We'll put in a request. Hey, why do you guys think that craft, I mean, in Chicago, this is just such a booming industry right now? I remember it started, 10 years ago. It was maybe one or two breweries in Chicago.
It seems like the craft beer thing
huge now.
Is lasting longer
here
than it has in other
What's
cities.
What's the secret to the success?
I think Chicago makes really good beer. There's a lot of new breweries, breweries that have been around for 10 years. And I think Chicago is a competitive city. So if you're coming, you know, we have a lot of beer from around the country. You know, Chicago's the crossroads. We had a lot of beer from the East Coast and West Coast, Colorado. When I moved here 10 years ago, there's a lot of selection already. So guys who are opening breweries like Dovetail and Beguile, we have to come to the table prepared with good beer. And I think anyone that's really opening a brewery in the city right now is really making some, you know, high quality stuff, and there isn't really room for bad beer.
That's your slogan. That's a T-shirt. Yeah. There's no room for bad beer.
Right.
Stand by. Dave has some questions and is looking for samples. When we come back, first though, it's 9:52. More of the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN and CLTV next.
Well, I believe I'll have me a beer. cause it ain't sold in heaven. You gotta buy it right here, and you can't take it with you whenever you go. So I believe I'll drink all I can hold.
That's my entire childhood right there. Every song my father liked.
Right.
Every song he and his buddies played on their guitars and their garbage can tops. It all sounded like that. Bill Wesseling's here from Dovetail Brewing. Kevin Carey from Beguile Brewing. It's a, what do we call this? A May what?
Festiversary.
A May Festiversary during Craft Beer Week. Now, this Craft Beer Week thing's been going on all week long.
It has, yeah. Technically, last night was the last night of Craft Beer Week. But
you guys have been busy.
We're keeping it going.
Yeah.
Keep the party going.
Keep it going.
Now, when you guys were little, you know, you thought, I'll be this or I'll be that when I grow up. Was, you know, a craft brewer, was that in there anywhere, Bill?
You know, I wanted to be a brewer probably for the last 20 or so years in my own brewery.
And since I don't actually have your ID, how old were you when you thought of that?
Just under drinking age.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So at
he
what
was
point?
Aiming high.
Yeah.
And, looking
and,
ahead.
And what? Yeah, right. Dream big. What about you, Kevin?
I think I was actually 20 years ago. I think I was doing my I Have a Dream, or it was a When I Grow Up speech, you know.
So when you guys go to your families, your loved ones, whoever that is,
great.
And say, I want to make beer, what kind of conversation is that?
It was good. It was good.
So your family's supportive?
Yeah, super supportive. Most supportive was my girlfriend at the time, now wife. She's been the most supportive of it because she's probably the one that's put up with.
Sure.
And we wouldn't be where we're at today without her. She was working three jobs when we started. I said, hey, I'm going to start a brewery. And what she didn't know was, oh, yeah, she was starting one too.
Right. She signed up for the same program.
I was going to say, when you're both walking in at 4 a.m.
Yeah. You guys have kids?
No kids. We have a 1-year-old black lab puppy.
Yeah,
which
well, that's a starter kit.
Yeah,
Dave.
So just to follow up on Andrea's question, with all of the different craft brews, and now one of the major supermarket chains in the area has a big walk-in cooler and build your own six pack, and you walk in there
who's
and
doing
it's
that?
Just what's that?
Who's doing it?
Mariano's.
Oh, there.
And you walk in there and it's just overwhelming. There are so many beers. What advice would you guys have for somebody who just walks in there and just is sort of just overcome by it all? Because how do you even start to pick?
Well, my advice would be go to Dovetail or Beguile instead. Walk out of that Mariano's immediately.
Nice plug.
There okay. you go.
Well,
yeah.
That's a good idea.
It definitely helps. We go for a more clean look with our packaging. We're sort of two-dimensional, flat, really nice. It pops on the shelf. And I think it's one thing that we didn't really think about when we got started was, you know, how do you stand out on the shelf? And, you know, I think it takes good branding for starters, because there's a lot of brands out there. And, you know, you want to tell your message, and it's really hard to have a beer can tell someone a story. So, you know, you want people to try it, but then you also want to have something that catches the eye.
Yeah.
But swill can come with a pretty wrapper.
It can. But the first step is, you know, if somebody grabs it and they're like, hey, this looks pretty cool. You know, but also, yeah, it's the liquid inside, because if you sell a beer one time and it's not good, they're not going to come back to it.
Again.
So
right.
So that's the another important.
And Dave, in your case, try them all.
You know, wine has done this too. I mean, the wine bottles, people buy wine because it's, right, attractive.
A bottles. Nice bottle.
I picture you walking in and going, ha, you know, you'd hear the hallelujah chorus when okay. it's like, ah, you know.
All right, both you guys.
Kettle.
Both
I'm
you
sorry,
guys,
right.
Plug your businesses before we let you go here at the end of Craft Beer Week. Beer Week. I've obviously tried the samples. Bill, you first.
Dovetail Brewery specializes in continental style ales and lagers. We're draft only right now, so you got to come into the brewery or find us at some of our accounts around town.
All right. Thank you.
And then we're Beguile Brewing. We're celebrating our 5th anniversary this year. We brew American styles and a lot of experimental stuff as well, barrel-aged beers and beers with coffee. We're located one block south of Dovetail Brewery in the North Center neighborhood, open 7 days a week.
It's a great area.
I like how you guys are friends.
Check out the festival and check out the piece that we did.
May
for SmartTV.com.
Very
it was
nice
really
to see
good.
You guys. Nice to see you guys. Good luck to both of you and your facial hair. Yeah. And we're back with Bill and a special guest, a blast from the past, and sometimes the current, coming up on 720 WGN.